Now, back to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Here's Dave Benton.
All right. About 12 minutes away from Jim Comperoni from Spartan Mag joining us to talk about the Dane Fife hiring, spring football, and everything Michigan State Spartans. Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here alongside Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. Just a quick note we wanted to throw in there, something that was announced on the Fox News at the top of the hour, and just wanted to go over it real quickly. Miami Dolphins wide receiver Brandon Marshall, as reported, was stabbed and was in the ICU down in Miami. Turns out he is going to be okay. The report off of ESPN.com that I'm reading, it was a woman that stabbed him. He's in the ICU. However, sources closest to the situation say he is going to be okay. It's not life-threatening. So that is good news for Brandon Marshall.
Jay Glazer said he is in no imminent danger. And I actually have, from Pro Football Talk, they have it was his wife.
Wow. That would be interesting. Interesting. Well, that's Pro Football Talk, so we won't speculate by saying for sure that it was his wife. We do know it was a woman. So,
well that's from Jay Glazer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's put up on Pro Football Talk, but it's Jay Glazer reported that.
Okay, fair enough. So anyway, that's the situation with Brandon Marshall. For those of you who are wondering, he is going to be okay. So we will leave it at that. There's really not
know,
much more to say.
We don't know that that makes the Dolphins really look for a receiver at number 15.
No. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping not. All right. Well, before we say something we're going to regret, let's just move on to
Good
our next
choice.
Thing. All right. So we were talking about the Detroit Lions, and Scott and I were having a conversation earlier in the break, and I thought we would touch on this since we've only got about 6 minutes here. We were talking about worst draft picks in recent history for the Detroit Lions. Now, I don't remember enough about 1970s and 1980s draft picks to know who was a good pick and who was not a good pick. But let's just go with the golden years of Detroit Lions draft picks, if you will. And I was wondering whether Mike Williams was the worst draft pick of the bunch. And we've got a couple nominees that you can throw up there. But I was kind of trying to make arguments to all these different ones, because we mentioned Ernie Sims, we mentioned Charles Rogers. I think you could definitely throw Joey Harrington into that conversation. Scott, which is the worst pick in your opinion?
That is tough, because like you said, we made very strong cases for all three. I think looking back, as bad as Mike Williams was, I think I will give it Mike Williams, because he had zero production for the Lions. Ernie Sims had an okay rookie season. They had no sense drafting him. Charles Rogers caused a lot of harm to the team, being the second overall pick, and it's tough from an emotional standpoint of seeing him struggle like that, being from Michigan State, you know, growing up in Saginaw. It was a bad pick because he didn't really do anything ever. But yeah, Mike Williams was the worst easily.
Here's what I'll say about Ernie Sims, and then I'll put my piece in about Charles Rogers. Ernie Sims, to me, gets a bit of a free pass because Ernie Sims got drafted at 9 but was projected to be about 30th. He was not supposed to be a 9th-round pick. And here's what really drove me nuts about that year, and I remember this like it's yesterday, is the Lions are sitting there at 9. Matt Leinart is still on the board. 4 teams behind the Lions wanted a quarterback, and you had Jay Cutler and Matt Leinart sitting on the board. And you said to yourself, hello, trade down. Trade down to Arizona, trade down to Denver, trade down to anybody and get some extra picks. And they took Ernie Sims, and what I remembered was, you know, they still could have gotten Ernie Sims in the first round, and it still would have been a reach, but at least they would have gotten more picks. But what makes Ernie Sims not the worst pick is that it wasn't really Ernie Sims' fault, and he did have a little bit of production. He did make a lot of tackles. Now, as far as Charles Rogers is concerned, nobody would have passed up a Rogers at 2 that year. He was a beast in college. He was a man among boys. He was 6'5", ran the 40 and 4.28. He was an excellent athlete. And what people forget is his first 2 games, he scored 2 touchdowns. And then he broke his collarbone, and then it was all downhill from there. And everything that happened afterwards was a big bust. However, I do often wonder how good Charles Rogers would have been had he not gotten injured. throw any drug or drinking problems aside that Charles Rogers had, because clearly it didn't hinder him at Michigan State, I think that that would have been a good pick still at number two. And I have a hard time calling it a bust if all 31 other teams would have taken Charles Rogers in the same exact situation. Everybody. Because nobody knew Andre Johnson was going to be a great wide receiver then. They thought he was potentially going to be good. It was kind of like A.J. Green, where he had all the numbers, but we weren't sure that Andre Johnson was going to be fantastic because he wasn't absolutely fantastic in Miami. So we weren't sure. But everybody knew Charles Rogers was going to be good. Charles Rogers was the safe pick of that draft. And so it's hard for me to say that the Lions busted there by getting a guy that ended up getting injured, and we won't really know what's going on with that.
I want to switch, just go back a little bit to what we kind of finished with Dave Burkett on. You talked about the Monday night football game. First time in a decade they play the Bears.
Very cool.
Second week in October. And you bring up a really good point. How much the players are up for it, or how much the fans are. But the thing that I'm wondering, you go back to last year, and people were petitioning for the Lions to not have a game on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
How much of this, and we worried about this as soon as the season was over, I know the Lions are that chic pick now, everybody thinks they're going to be near 500. Are they that good, or are we falling into the trap from their four-game winning streak at the end of the season?
Oh, I think it's the four-game winning streak altogether. Absolutely. And here's the thing. You don't go on Monday Night Football if you don't have anything to market. They have Ndamukong Suh and they have Calvin Johnson to market. And if Matthew Stafford is healthy,
That's why they put it early on, because hopefully Stafford will
stay healthy. Exactly. So even if the Lions are 2-4 at that point, you can still say, well, the Lions have something to play for, blah, 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 blah. So yes, that is definitely part of it. I am very happy for the players who have worked hard, who had to go through that 0-16 season and now have a shot to play in Monday Night Football. And I'm very excited for the fans, because I make this argument all the time. Detroit Lions fans are the best fans of any sports franchise. And you can argue with me, and I will throw this argument every time at you. Sellouts for years after years after years for $65 a pop to watch a team get absolutely throttled at home by whoever they played. Show me a franchise and fans who are better than that. The Detroit Lions fans deserve this game more than anybody. When we come back, we'll talk with Jim Comperoni, Spartan Mag. We'll talk Dane Fife and Michigan State football. It's up next. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.